Okay. So today is, we have 2 days of Ram Nomi here. We're very fortunate. So today is Ram Nomi and tomorrow is Ram Nomi. So there's both days we're going to be speaking about Lord Ram instead of the normal Bhagavatam class. And so for class we'll chant Sita Ram, Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Pati Pavana Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravidakacharya, also Teta Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhattavadana Goswami Marshila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Kijai, Puranse Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagopita Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Navadiptam Kijai, Jagadatasami Kijai, Yamunamaya Kijai, Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Gaura. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so Om Gnana Timadanda Shaganandjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we're very fortunate to be celebrating the appearance day of Sri Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so we're going to talk a little bit in accordance with the tradition, and many of you don't know the tradition, even though you've been hearing Ram Katha from your very birth. The tradition is you're supposed to hear about the events before the birth and the birth of Lord Ram in the morning. In the afternoon, midday, you're supposed to hear about Sita Swayamvara. And in the evening, you're supposed to hear about Ram, or the disappearance day of Ravana. And Ram's victory and Ram's being enthroned as the king of Ayodhya. So we're going to talk about the events preceding the birth of Lord Ram, or the appearance of Lord Ram. So it's important to understand who Lord Ram is first before we start talking about the various pastimes. Lord Ram, of course, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is expansion of Krishna, Eti Changsa Kalakputansa Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original manifestation of God, and all the other manifestations are expansions or partial expansions, or plenary expansions or partial plenary expansions of Krishna. And so each and every one of the expansions accomplishes a specific purpose. One of the purposes of Lord Ram's manifestation, as we often hear, he is Maryada Purushottam. That means he sets the best example of manners, etiquette, rules and regulations. Like we often cite that Ram only has one wife, one arrow, and one word. Those three things. One word means he just keeps his word no matter what. One arrow means even if he pulls his arrow back in the bow, he's going to let it go. He's not going to put it down. Of course, he had many arrows in his quiver. A quiver is what you carry the arrows in. But as soon as the arrow went into the bow, it had to strike some target. Just like the example, when Ram pulled back his bow, put the arrow in, pulled back his bow to hit Varuna, right? And then Varuna came out and said, "Please, save me. You don't want to do this. It will destroy all the living entities in the ocean, it will create a disturbance in the Lord's creation. You can make a bridge over the ocean using stones, if you write on each and every one of those stones the name Ram, Shri Ram." So Ram said, "Okay, that's a deal. However, what am I going to do with this arrow?" He said, "Once I put the arrow in the bow, it has to go somewhere." And so Varuna told him that there's this land full of rakshasas, or not rakshasas, actually lower class people, who are basically doing horrible things. He said, "Just shoot it there, and that place will become a desert. and those people will be killed, and you know, everything will be nice. So he shot at another place, like that. So the arrow always had to be shot, the word always had to be kept, and Ram always remained only with Sita Devi. And even when Sita Devi was sent away, and Ram did the different sacrifices, like the Rajasuya sacrifice, he had to have a murti of Sita Devi sitting next to him. Actually, it was made of gold. It was very interesting. A gold murti of Sita Devi, because when a householder does a sacrifice, the wife is supposed to be next to him. Did you know this? It's actually very important. When a household Brahmin does the sacrifice. Of course, if a Malecha does a sacrifice, then he gets killed by Ram. Did you know that story? That what happened is once upon a time in Ram's kingdom, after Ram came back, a Brahmin's son died. And all sorts of inauspicious signs were there. So the question was, why is this happening in Ram Raj? And Ram understood that meant that someone was doing something impious somewhere in the kingdom. So he got called for the Pushpaka Viman, the flower airplane that he had previously won after defeating Ravana. And he said, let's go for a tour around the kingdom to find what is happening. Just like nowadays they have this jet that disappeared, so they're going all over trying to find, right, what happened to it. So Ram did the same thing. He got in the airplane, he was looking around, who is doing something irreligious in my kingdom? And then he found a Shudra was performing a havan. And so you know what he did? Cut the Shudra's head off immediately. Wow. Now why is that? Was Ram just like against poor Shudras? No, because it's very important, the principle of Dharma. See, Ram established this to the highest degree, that everyone has to do the Dharma. Of course, Krishna in the Gita says the same thing, that everyone should perform their duty. Even if they can do another's duty perfectly, they should not. You should not imitate someone else's duty. So there's different duties according to varnas and ashrams. And one is understood to be in a particular ashram or varna according to guna and karma, as Krishna says in the Gita. Chaturvarna mayashustam guna karma vibhagashaha. That one is known to be Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra according to his guna and karma. That means guna and karma means his qualities and his work. For example, if you find someone getting angry all the time, he's not a Brahman. Brahman can get angry sometimes, but not all the time. Or not 50% of the time. Maybe 2%, 1% of the time. That's all right. Or if you find someone overeating, he's not a Brahman. If you find someone, you know, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, not in control of his mind, he's not a Brahman. That's how you know. Very simple. If you find someone who likes to control others, then he's a Kshatriya. And if you find someone who likes to acquire money, then he's a Vaishya. And if you find someone who likes to just like enjoy his senses, he doesn't care about the future, what is he? Does anyone know? He's a Shudra. He's a Shudra. Someone who just thinks right now, let me drink liquor, take kava, smoke cigarettes. He is absolutely a Shudra. Anyone who drinks, smokes, or does anything, even harming the body, that means he's a Shudra, because he's not thinking of the future. Both the Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishya think of the future. Okay, so getting back to the story. So if a Shudra is doing some Vedic ritual, it's actually irreligious and creates problems in the community. In other words, if someone is acting as a Brahmin but he doesn't have Brahminical qualities, it actually destroys a whole culture. Think about that for a second. Even though, like here in Fiji, someone may be have the Brahmin certificate from the Brahmin organization. Okay, so Ram was Maryada Purushottama, And that was one of the main reasons of his appearance. Of course, there are other reasons. I mean, generally in the Bhagavad Gita, we hear Prichanaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, that he came to destroy the Malacha or the Rakshasas, establish religious principles, and protect the devotees. That's pretty external. Actually, the most important reason Ram came is for his own enjoyment. He had the whole thing planned out beforehand. He arranged for Jai and Vijay to get cursed because he wanted to enjoy. He wanted to enjoy a good fight. He wanted to enjoy loving exchanges. He wanted to enjoy the what we call the indirect rasas, like Adbhuta, astonishment, chivalry, anger, fear, humor. Even we see Ram enjoys humor sometimes, just like when Sarpanaka came and she said to Ram, "I love you." Not like that. I mean, obviously it was a different tone of voice. "I love you." So she said to Ram, "I love you." And Ram joked with her. He said, "Actually, there's my brother. His wife's not here. He'd be very happy to have a beautiful girl like you as a companion." And so she went to Lakshman and said, "Lakshman." And Lakshman said, of course, that if you marry me or whatever, then you'll be a servant just like I am. So better you marry Ram, he'll soon forget that thin-waisted lady that he's married to. Because, as I mentioned many times before, Sarpanaka had fat belly, like beer belly. So anyway, so she went back to Ram and said, "Ram." And then eventually she got angry and tried to kill Sita Devi. And then Ram said to Lakshman, "Don't joke with women," but it was Ram's fault. He started it all. You understand? It was Ram who started the joke. So he didn't even listen to his own instruction. So, in any case, Ram showed his humorous tendency. You know, he had a sense of humor. He showed his amazing chivalrous tendency, anger. And this is enjoyable for the Lord. So Ram made all the arrangements for his Vaikuntha attendants to come down. That's, of course, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, to come down so he could fight with them and enjoy with them all these different moods. Like one plays video games nowadays, or goes to a rugby game, or any of these things. Like if you look at the Fiji Times, most of the pages are filled with sporting stuff, at least the final section. So Ram wanted to enjoy. That's perhaps the biggest reason why he appeared. Try to understand that. And second reason is that he wanted to us to become attracted to him, so that we will become free from sins. Because if you're not attracted to God, then you're going to be attracted to illusion or maya. You have to be attracted to something. You can't just like be there chanting om and doing nothing. You have to want something. So that's called raso varjam, raso pyasa, param jishnani vartate, a higher taste. So Rama is showing us his pastime, so we'll be attracted to him, and then eventually devote our lives to him and become his servant. The whole purpose of Ram Nomi, or the celebration of Ram's pastimes, is to realize that you're Ram's servant. And Ram's servant does what Ram wants. Just like Hanuman, he did what Ram wanted, right? He doesn't do anything without Ram's permission. Even when Krishna wanted to see Hanuman, Hanuman refused because he didn't have Ram's permission. Until Krishna took the form of Ram, and then Hanuman came. So that is what it means to be a devotee of Ram. And that means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's a devotee. Not just Ram Nomi, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, and then after Ram Nomi, Jai Murgi. Sri Murgi, Jaya Jaya Murgi. Right? Isn't it? Isn't that the way people are? That's not devotee Rama, it's just nonsense, hypocrite. And why are the young people rejecting their parents' religion here? Because the parents are hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? You make a show bottle, you make believe you believe in something, but you don't change your life. And of course, there's a statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 4. Very interesting statement in this regard. Nivritti, nivritti tarsar upagiyamanat, babosinot sotra mano viramat, kautama shloka vina navarat, vina puman virajeta vina pashubnat. Very important point. That if that one's miseries can be eradicated by Ramkata, Krishnakata, the material miseries, the Vritta Tarsha, Upagyamana, Bhavoshadotra, it's the remedy. Bhavoshadotra, Mano Biramat. It'll make your mind very, very happy. You'll be very happy. Kautama Shloka Gunanavad. If we hear about the qualities of, through transcendental verses of the Lord's pastimes, then, but only if one is not eating meat. That's a big one. Puman virajeta vina pashubnat. The only people who will not gain the benefit or be attracted, according to this verse in Bhagavatam, is those who are eating meat. Or those who are killers of the soul or killers of animals. Just like yesterday, we were talking to someone and he said, I don't kill animals, I just eat them. I said, that's a good argument. You don't kill animals. I said, look, just like if you pay someone to kill someone else, does that mean you're not guilty? It means you're not guilty? Let's say if I pay Sumukha to kill, Jivanath. And the government comes and they say, you're guilty of murder. I said, no, I didn't kill Jivanath. I just hired Sumukha. It's his fault. You know, what? I just gave him some money. It's not my fault. No, I'm just as guilty. That's called premeditated murder. And I'm just as guilty as the person who killed, right? It's a premeditated murder. Most serious offense. So with meat eating, it's a premeditated murder. And that's what Prabhupada preached about when he was preaching to people of different religions. He would preach, like in Christianity, he would cite the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, Jesus said. And they would say, well, he didn't mean that. You know, he meant just animal, just human beings. And of course, they killed human beings in the name of Jesus, too. I mean, that's the funniest thing. Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. Then you had the Crusades where they were killing millions of Muslims, you know, which is obvious. So they didn't even follow their own interpretation of that commandment. What to speak of the real interpretation of the commandment is thou shalt not kill. So anyway, so the point is, if we want to actually be Ram Bhaktas, we cannot eat meat. That's absolutely true. There's no exceptions to that. If you want to be a Ram Bhakti, you cannot eat meat. That point we should make to you. Okay, so let's talk about more nectarian things. I'm done with the preaching. So as far as the Ramayana is concerned, the Ramayana has 24,000 verses in it. And it has 500 cantos. Of course, the cantos are shorter than the Srimad Bhagavatam's cantos. And in addition, there's the Uttara Ramayana, which describes the future after Lord Ram left, which is the Lavan Kush segment, which is even larger, which even has more cantos. So the author of the Ramayana, of course, is Valmiki. You all know that. I'm going to tell a little bit about this history that you don't know. That once upon a time, in Valmiki's previous birth, we're not talking about his birth as a dacoit, he was the sage Harita. And Harita was cursed by Sanat Kumar. and he was cursed to become a Kirata. Then he became the son of Bhriga Muni, and his name was Riksha, but he fell down due to bad association. Eventually he was killed by an arrow. And then he took the name, and of course this is from the Valmiki Ramayana, not the Tulsidas Ramayana, of this person known as Loha Janga. That's actually the name. I mean, normally you have a different name from the Tulsidas Ramayana, but as the Valmiki Ramayana said, it was Loha Janga. And he was very much attached to his family. And so much attached to his family, he didn't have much of an education, he never went to the university. So the only thing he could do is rob people. And, of course, he would even rob old women, take their jewelry and everything like that. So one day, and his wife was very greedy too. She kept sending him out, you know, you got to rob, you got to make money for me. That's described in the Ramayana. Come on, Prabhu. So, go out and make money. I need new saris. I need new jewelry. So he's going out. Great love for his wife. Great love for his family. And then what happened is he tried to rob the Sapta Rishis. And the Sapta Rishis said, what are you doing? And he said, this is my job. Just like your job is being Rishis, my job and someone else's job is opening up an automobile repair shop. And my job is killing people and robbing them. That's how I support my family. And the Sapta Rishis explained to him that actually this is bad karma. This is another point we should make to people on Ram Nomi about karma. We were talking about this last night. Because generally, you know, even devotees, they just do Ram Katha without explaining the philosophy behind it. Well, the first point you should ask people when you're giving a lecture is, do you believe in karma? Raise your hand if you believe in karma. And everyone raises their hand. Okay. If you believe in karma, how many of you want to be a chicken in your next life? Raise your hand. Nobody raises their hands. Then you ask the question, how many of you eat chicken? And some people will be brave enough, raise your hand. Guess what? You're going to be chickens. Because they just said it themselves. Logic. I believe in karma. What is karma? Action and reaction. Okay. You believe in it. God. Great. Kill a chick. If you eat chicken, great. At least you're honest. Number three, that means chicken birth. By your belief, it's not my belief, it's your belief. So you can actually... This is actually called judo, philosophical judo, where you use someone else to defeat themselves. You understand? So therefore, see you at KFC next lifetime. You said it, not me. I'm not preaching to you. You preach to yourself. All right. So anyway, so we should explain this. This is what the Sapta Rishis explained to Valmiki. If you kill, you be killed. Mamsa, the word for meat in Sanskrit, means I will be killed or you will kill me. So anyway, so just like this is actually the first thing that the sages preach to people. I mean, for example, Narada Muni, when he came to Magrari, what did Narada Muni say? Well, first thing he said, why don't you just kill them fully without half killing, because it's less cruel. And Magrari said, you know, this is my life. This is how I've been trained up by my Pita. So, and then Narada Muni showed him karma. That's ABC. How can you understand XYZ until you understand ABC? How can you understand Ram until you understand the ABCs? Right? You'll never understand Ram. Your Ram Katha is just like from your mental platform. You'll never appreciate or understand who Ram is. It's just like people in the Western world talking about Superman. Right? It's just like that. Because they don't believe in him. If you actually believed in Ram, you would act differently. Shraddha Shabde Vishah Shakahe Sudrida Nishya. Right? If you believe in something, you'll follow it. The definition of faith is having trust, sublime faith, having trust that if you do something, then your purposes will be accomplished. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So the Saptarishis explained the law of karma. And they said, you're going to have some bad karma. And he said, well, at least I can share it with my family. You know, we share things alike. So the Saptarishi said, really? You think your family will share your karma for doing this? And Valmiki said, of course. Of course, Lohajunga at that point, he wasn't Valmiki. He said, of course, they love me. And they will share everything. Just like I share my money with them, they will share my karma. So he went to his wife and he said, Patni, Priya, will you accept some of the karma? And she said, no. Where's my money? Or, sorry, gold. And then he went to his son, daughter, and the same thing happened, and he understood the nature of love. Actually, it's very similar to the Tulsidas story, where many of you don't know the history of Tulsidas, where Tulsidas was married, and he was so much in love with his wife, and he had a cloth shop, that he would actually give all the good cloth to his wife. And if someone came to the shop to buy a nice piece of cloth, he would say, well, it's not for sale. And he would give it to his wife, and he never made any money. His wife was upset. She said, basically, you know, you're too attached to this body of stool, mucus, and urine, so you better worship Ram. So actually, it was a similar type of thing. Interesting story. So, almost like the story of Bilvamangal Thakur, too. You find many stories like that in India. So Valmiki went back to the Saptarishis. We all know that he said that my family doesn't love me. I've been working for people who really just want to exploit me. And that's the nature of material love. It's just like I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's a business arrangement. Like if you do business with someone, it's not love. I mean, for example, you work at FEA. Do you love FEA? No, you're getting paid. And if they stop paying, what happens? You don't work. So they have to pay. Whereas if one's a devotee, one will work without pay. That's the main thing. So, therefore, Valmiki was instructed, or Lohajunga was instructed to chant God's names, and he said he couldn't do it, so they gave him another mantra. Of course, that was the famous Mahara mantra. And he chanted that and chanted Ram, 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 Ram. And then after he chanted that, he was so absorbed in Ram's name that he forgot any of his bodily necessities, like eating and sleeping, and an anthill grew around him. That's why he's called Valmiki. Valmiki means like the anthill sage. And so the Saptarishis came another day and they heard an anthill chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. They were walking by an anthill and they heard Ram, 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 Ram. They said, oh, these are very pious ants. Then they realized it was their disciple, Valmiki. And they brought him out of the anthill. And they were very pleased and blessed him and everything like that. So he kept chanting the names of Ram, 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 Ram. And then after a while, he had an encounter with Narada Muni. He asked Narada Muni a question. He said, my dear Narada Muni, please tell me, who is that in this world who is full of virtue, who is full of prowess? That means prowess means strength. Is not only physical strength, but mental strength, spiritual strength. That's prowess. Full of resolve. Resolve means determination. So he was asking Narada Muni, like, tell me about someone like this, who has all these different qualities, there's more, who is truthful, all the time truthful, who has right conduct all the time, who is full of knowledge, who is also lovable. In other words, very attractive, because that's Krishna. So he's going through basically all the Bhagavan qualities. You know Bhagavan? Not Bhagavan something else, but Bhagavan. That means full of good qualities, attractive qualities, like fame, beauty, renunciation, knowledge. So it's just another way of expressing what Parashara Muni expressed when he defined the nature of God as being Bhagavan. So he's lovable. Someone who has subdued the self. That's very interesting. What does it mean to subdue the self? I'll explain. The self, we have different selves. It's not that we have a multiple personality disorder, but we have the gross body, that's the pancha indriya. We have the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. And then we have the soul, which is the actual self. So the word atma can refer to any of those three things. It can refer to the body, it can refer to the subtle body, and it can refer to the soul. So one who is controlled, vachya vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, mudra pascha vegam. One who has actually controlled the gross body and the mind. That's the point. One who has it under control. That's a devotee, of course, should be like that too. A devotee has all, he's dhira, he's sober, because he has his senses under control and he has his mind under control, and he can focus these objects or these parts of himself on Krishna. So he has subdued his self. Subdued anger is another quality that was asked by Valmiki. Because Valmiki really wanted to know if there's anyone like that. And he says, an above fault finding, which is really interesting. Above fault finding. That's an important quality for all of us, because we like to sit and talk about other people's faults. We derive great pleasure. Did you hear about it? I mean, even if someone has a fault, and we all have faults. Everybody here has faults, unless you're a pure devotee. And I don't see too many sitting in the room. Forgive me. Of course, that's fault-finding, too. I just was subjected to the same thing I criticized other people for. So anyway, so maybe some of you are pure devotees. But we all have faults. So, like, a devotee sees the good qualities. Like Prabhupada, he was preaching in New York, in 26 Second Avenue, and a bum comes into the... You know what a bum is? Bum is like someone on the street who lives on the street. Comes in the middle of the lecture, and, you know, probably didn't take a bath for 3 years. And this is like a... And then he puts some toilet paper in the bathroom in 26 Second Avenue, and Prabhupada praises him. Instead of saying, get that dirty bum out of here, yuck, and criticizing him, Prabhupada praised him. He has done nice service, Prabhupada said. Just see. That's how we have to preach. You know, if you go around condemning people, there'll be no one left in the Hare Krishna movement. And you won't even be left in the Hare Krishna movement, because you'll be committing offenses against devotees. So, anyway, so Ram was above fault finding. He never found fault. Even, I mean, of course, there's the story when Indrajit was killed. And the monkeys, you know what they, the monkeys and everybody, they wanted to tear his body apart. Did you know that? They Indrajit, because Indrajit had caused so many problems. He almost killed Lakshman. I mean, not, you can't kill Lakshman, but it appeared like that. So he almost killed Lakshman, and everyone was so angry at Indrajit. He had killed thousands, millions of monkeys and bears. So they just like, tear him apart. And Ram said, no, this enmity is ended. We should honor him. And so Ram sent his body back covered with his own cloth. You know the story? You don't. You're supposed to be Ram Das Bhakta. How come I, who was born in Maladesh, know more than you? Actually, everybody born in the land of India should know all those stories. Anyway, read the bell, make you remind. So he covered Indrajit's body, Meghnad, Indrajit, same thing, with his own cloth and send it back with honor. So in other words, he wasn't finding fault. It's very nice. And sometimes, when Lachman was fighting with different people, Lachman would just like find fault. He would say, you know, he was stupid Rakshas or something. and Ram said, don't criticize. Just kill him. you know, don't brag. You know, sometimes people, Kshatriyas actually, they brag, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this. And, you know, a real Kshatriya just says, I'm not going to brag, I'm just going to kill you. So in other words, Ram very much discourages fault finding, like we find devotees doing it behind people's backs, finding fault. See a good quality. Prabhupada saw good qualities, and he amplified and appreciated those good qualities and accepted on behalf of Krishna. Anyway, so those are, Valmiki was asking Narada Muni that. So after he asked Narada Muni, Narada Muni didn't reply to him immediately. But Narada Muni knew his desire. So one day, Valmiki was bathing in the river. And when he was bathing in the river, he saw a nishada, or a hunter, kill a bird. And the bird was with its mate. You know, there's a female bird and a male bird. And he got so angry at the hunter, he cursed the hunter, but his curse was poetry. So somehow or other, he was wondering why, you know. Somehow or other, it rhymed, it had the right meter and everything like that. It was a whole stanza, a whole poem about cursing the hunter. He said, you shall never enjoy, you shall suffer eternally. I mean, that was the curse. I wouldn't want to be that hunter. So he was wondering, what is this? You know, why have I given this poetry like that? And a few minutes later, Lord Brahma appeared to him. And Lord Brahma told him, in using that same meter, and the Ramayana is all poetry. It's an amazing poetic. I mean, if you read it in Sanskrit, it's one of the most amazing, sweet Sanskrit poems. And as I mentioned before, it's 24,000 verses. You know, that's a long poem. Isn't it all in the same meter and all rhyming? It's beautiful. So Lord Brahma instructed him to write the Ramayana in the same meter, the same verse. And he told him, you go into a yogic trance and you chant the name of Ram more and more. And eventually you will perceive the pastimes of Ram. So a devotee like Valmiki, and it's interesting, Valmiki came from a low-class background. And that's also interesting for us, that no matter what our background is, if we take up Krishna consciousness seriously, we can become pure devotees. There's hope for us. You may think it's hopeless. Like Prabhupada one time said, you devotees, you don't understand how dirty your heart is. He said, your heart is like a coal, a piece of coal. You wash it, and you just get your hands dirty. And the more you wash it, the dirtier you get. So sometimes, you know, we look at ourselves, if we're honest, and we think it's like that. But then, this is principle mentioned by Rupa Goswami, which is called Ashabandha, which means hope against hope. In other words, our faith is in Krishna, not in our own ability. And our faith is in Krishna's name. So that ultimately, by Krishna's mercy, we will become Krishna. By Prabhupada's promise, Prabhupada's mercy, we will become Krishna conscious. So anyway, so Valmiki, coming from the lowest background imaginable, of course, ours may be even lower, who knows, then Valmiki was able to perceive all of Lord's pastimes, Trikalagya, the present, or the present, the future, past, everything he was able to perceive. And so then he started to write down the Valmiki Ramayana. Okay. So then we'll start talking a little bit about the Ramayana. Should we talk about Ravana or should we talk about Ram right now? What? Ram. You like Ram? I like Ravana better. Anyway, so he's a little more interesting for me. So anyway, so let's talk about Ram. So you had this king. All right, let's go over the whole dynasty. There was this dynasty starting with Katvanga. Everybody's heard of Katvanga, Maharaj Katvanga. His son was Dirhabahu. His son was Raghu, that's why it's called Raghu Vamsa. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patit Pavana Sitaram. I guess you didn't know that. And then his son was Aja. Aja means unborn. And his son was Dasarath. And Dasarath, they were all descendants, actually all these were descendants of Ikshvaku, who was the son of Vaivasvatu Manu. And the interesting thing is, in that dynasty, they worshipped deities of Sita and Ram even from the beginning, like we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Puktavanaham Aviyam. They had deities of Sita and Ram before Sita and Ram appeared. That's proof that the pastimes of Ram are eternal, Nitya Lila. Because even before they appeared, they were worshipping deities of Sita and Ram. Not deities of Hanuman, but just deities of Sita and Ram. So anyway, so those deities were later on given to Ram when he became the king. But Ram never wanted to worship his own deities. He thought, you know, this is crazy. I'm not going to worship myself every morning. You know, I couldn't imagine Ram waking up in the morning and going, Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. So he put the deities in a closet. But he had one great devotee who was a Brahmin who took a vow never to eat until he saw Ram that day. So what happened is that Ram understood that and he gave the deities to that Brahmin. And later on, that Brahmin, after he went back to the spiritual world, the yogi in the spiritual world, gave those deities to Hanuman. And Hanuman gave those deities to his brother Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya was worshipping the same deities that were worshipped in the whole dynasty, in the Sun Dynasty. So Ram was born in the Sun Dynasty. That's why we say Ram appeared midday. He didn't appear in the evening. So anyway, so this is the dynasty. So Dasarath was called Dasarath because he was an Atirath. An Atirath is capable of fighting many Maharaths. A Maharath is capable of fighting like 10,000 soldiers, elephants, just one person. That's how strong a Mahabharath was. He was Maharath could defeat elephants and infantry, everything just single-handedly. And an Atirath can defeat many Maharaths. And that was Dasarath. Dasarath means 10 directions or 10 chariots. So he was able to fight in 10 directions or 10 chariots at one time. And he fought for the demigods. And the demigods very much appreciated him. Okay. So Dasarath had many wives, three wives actually, Kaikeyi, Sumitra, and Kaushalya. But he had no sons. So he was very disturbed. He was Ashanti. He had a daughter. Her name was Shanti. And because he was Ashanti and didn't have any sons, he decided to give his daughter away. Because there was a king named Romapad, the king with the hairy feet. That means Romapad. The king who had no daughters. So it's like that. Someone who has no daughters wants daughters. Someone who has no sons wants sons. So it's good to have a combination. So this king had no daughter. So what he did is he went to his friend, Romapad went to his friend Dasarath and said, "Can I have your daughter?" And this lady Shanti was given to Dasarath. I mean to Romapad, sorry. So then Dasarath was in a lot of anxiety. And he was thinking, I need to have a son. The reason you have to have a son is because someone has to carry out the kingdom after you take sannyas, after you die. Genetics was very important in those days. In other words, proper breeding. Breeding is important. You see that generally children look like their parents, right? They have a similar mentality. Because fortunately, I took up Krishna consciousness. I have a little different mentality than my father, but that's life. So, but they say it's genetics. So there's breeding. You want to breed a good king, just like you breed an apple or a papaya, right? You have different types of papayas. You have the Fiji papayas, the Hawaiian papayas. So you have kings that you breed. And so it was very much controlled who the king would marry so that they would have the proper genetic makeup with the prince. So Dasarath had no sons. It was a great anxiety. So he went to his guru, Vasishtha, and said, "What should I do?" Vasishtha said, "Well, do an Ashwamedha sacrifice." But then Sumantra said, no, this is not really what we're supposed to be doing. I heard from the four Kumaras, Sumantra said. Sumantra was like the prime minister. In those days, the king was the most powerful, the prime minister was under him. You understand? Prime minister means the minister of a king. It's interesting. Nowadays, prime minister sometimes means the person who's on top. Prime minister means the first minister of the king. That's actually the traditional meaning of prime minister, just so you know. So Sumantra said, no, I heard from the four Kumaras that we're supposed to perform the Putra Kameshti ceremony. And this was predicted by Sanat Kumar. So let's change this whole Ashwamedha performance or adjust what we were going to do so we can do the Putra Kameshti. And it has to be done by someone who has never seen women before in his whole life. That's kind of hard. Because most of us have mothers. Most of us have seen our mothers. Right? Everybody here see their mother? Yeah. I mean, sometimes in Kali Yuga you don't see your father. But that's a different issue. But, yeah, I mean, basically, you have to see your mother. That's the way life is. So they were thinking, who has never seen a woman his whole life? And there was a description of this Rishi Sringa, who was the son of the sage Vibhontaka, and who was the son of Kashyapa, Kashyapa Muni. So what happened is that Vibhontaka was performing austerities one day, and the demigods, what they usually do if someone is very austere, they send down Cupid, and agents of Cupid, to lure one away from their austerities. That's the best way. You know, they have dancing girls. Sorry about that one. I got carried away. So the dancing girls, so they sent down this dancing girl, Harsha. You know, and the lady with a good smile. And she said to Vibhontaka, "I love you." He said, "Get away. Get away." And she said, "Well, you have to have a relationship with me." And so he said, no. And so anyway, there was some seminal fluid, and that became taken by a deer. And the deer gave birth to a little Brahmin boy. Oh, we're going to have to end. Just 1 minute. Wait, Kuro. The deer was... You have to finish this part of the story, at least. The deer gave birth to a little Brahmin boy with horns on his head. You know, like deer horns. You know, cute little horns, not like cow horns. Deer horns are actually cute. So that's why he's called Rishi Sringa. And so his father became so angry with this one lady, Harsha, he never allowed any women near the ashram anymore. Not only women, but he wouldn't even allow female insects. That way there was no dengue fever. Because he kept all the females away. Insects, tigers, everything. Just, it was like a real brahmachari ashram. Like when I was in Tirupati, I asked the temple president, why there are no lady brahmacharinis in the temple? And he said, the reason there are no brahmacharinis in the temple is because if we had brahmacharinis, there'd be no brahmacharis. So, yeah, as my friend said that. Anyway, probably right. But, you know, you can't in the modern day world, you know, keep the women away. You can't have a sign in the temple, no women allowed. Danger. Or you can't have the brahmacharis walking around with blindfolds all day long. So therefore, Rishi Sringa had never seen a woman his whole life. So Ramapad, this king who I mentioned before, who had Shanti as his daughter, had a drought in his kingdom, and the cure for that drought was that Rishi Sringa had to come to his kingdom. So he had to lure Rishi Sringa to his kingdom. The way he did that is he called for some prostitutes, and they made like a floating island on the river, like a beautiful with palm trees, mango trees, and everything like that. And so the prostitute went, you know, the most beautiful one, went to Rishi Sringa when the father wasn't there, and she acted like a Brahmin. She dressed up as a brahmachari. And Rishi Sringa said, oh, please come in, please accept my obeisances, all glories to Prabhupada. Of course, she didn't say Prabhupada, but anyway, he said my obeisances, and this prostitute said, no, in my country, we offer obeisances a different way. It's not dandavat kuro, it's not pranam kuro, it's alingana kuro. Isn't that how you say it? Alingana. Alingana, right? Right pronunciation? Alingan kuro. Alingan kuro. So he thought, this is a better way of offering obeisances than I've ever experienced in my life. But he didn't know it was a woman. And so eventually they lured him onto this island. The island floated all the way back to Ramapad's kingdom. There was rain. Vivandika got very angry, but when he was going to curse the king, they told him that his son was actually a proprietor of the kingdom. So that made him calm down. So he said, all right, as soon as he has a kid, he's coming back with me. You know, I'm tired of this stuff. Not only did I get tricked by a lady, but my son got tricked by a lady. This is too much. So anyway, so they got married, but then we know that Dasarath borrowed Rishi Sringa to do this Putra Kameshini ceremony. And so that's before the birth of Lord Rama, of course. So I don't think we have any more time. Tonight we can continue talking about this. It's a very wonderful story. I mean, I've read the Valmiki Ramayana many times. It's very inspiring to me to read it and to hear it. I even have the whole Valmiki Ramayana read by someone, if anyone's interested in getting a copy of that. And then Rupa Nuga wrote to me something like that, isn't it? So you can hear the whole Valmiki Ramayana. It's very inspiring hearing all these different stories and the stories within the stories and everything like that. It's a Ram Katha, but one should understand that Ram is God, as I mentioned before. We should follow Ram, do what's pleasing to Ram, then you'll understand the Ramayana. Otherwise, you're understanding, you will never understand what the Ramayana means. It'll just be a bunch of stories to you. And you won't have faith. Okay, on that happy note, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Ram Ki Jai, Sita Ram.